You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
This DIY feature is proudly sponsored by Paintsmiths Long Beach. Service and knowledge with plenty.
I visit Paintsmiths for all things paint and revamp.
I visit Paintsmiths for trade and paint contractor advice.
And we are here for each individual or business in the valley. Service and knowledge with pleasure. Paintsmiths Long Beach. Bulalo Dive, Sunnydale.
It's 10:30 and time for the DIY feature with Sean Anderson from Anderson Improvements. Hello, Sean, and welcome back.
Good morning. Nice and sunny in the valley today.
It's sunny, but brrr.
A little bit fresh, but more rain coming for the weekend.
Yes, I believe it's tomorrow.
Tomorrow going into the weekend.
But I feel the brrr. So, Sean, our topic this morning is about small things that sometimes get forgotten when building a home.
Yeah, there's it's a full-time job building a house. There's a lot of detail that goes into the process. So normally when we finish building a house, we need about a month holiday just to recover. it's about relationship with the client, understanding your client, for the homeowner to know exactly what they want. Things can get pear-shaped quite quickly.
Yes.
So it's all about communication.
Yes.
Communication and understanding what each party wants out of the job.
Yes. And that when you walk away, you know, job done. Because you always have a snag list, right?
I tend to have very little snag left. I'm quite anal so I go through the snags while I'm building the house. So if I do have a snag list, I'm normally surprised that I missed things. But most times, there will always be a snag list.
I have actually seen you in action, so I do believe that.
Yeah. So it would be the builder should actually be ahead of that and have set up his own snag list or be aware of the issues that are still need to be sorted out. But the whole process is for the homeowners quite daunting. I think they're putting a lot of trust into someone that they don't know very well.
Yes.
Do your homework. A lot of people are talking the talk, but the moment, like an experienced builder or someone who knows what's happening, can pick these guys up. They get on site, and then you can see within the first few hours, these guys are
taking
a chance. And unfortunately, sometimes you've already paid the deposit, you're tied in with this guy. Little things by just seeing, do they arrive on time? What are their preparation? Because preparation is a big thing. Are they going to protect the existing house that they're working on? These guys, what I've seen, they just come. There's no protection. They damage the rest of your house while they're trying to fix a new part of the house. They don't clean up, cleaning.
And that is very important, isn't it?
And then a lot of time I see other contractors that are on site and they just they don't follow the right procedure. They just I think, how can they even do this? They're using the wrong products or the wrong methods. Then it's almost too late. Look, it's never too late. You've got to catch – don't try and prolong the process. If you can see within the first week that these guys are not then put in place to get rid of them, because if you let them carry on, he might say, I can do it better, don't worry, rather just cut your losses with him on that one. And get someone that you can.
But as a client, if you're inexperienced with, and you know what you want, but if you're inexperienced, you're putting your trust in the builder, as you said, you're putting the trust in, and how do you know when it's not
right? I think every family has somebody that has a bit of savvy with, even if it's advanced DIY. Let them come on site for the first few days, just to monitor, just see how things are, how it's rolling.
Yeah. And you as a builder, you don't mind if the client is hanging around?
No, at times I prefer if the client's on site, because if there's a decision to be made, the decision gets made on the day.
Yes.
Right there. So I've had other times when the builder's not involved at all or barely, and then it becomes very difficult for us to try and get a sense of what the client wants. They might, and there's always going to be variations, or you know, the certain fittings that they want we can't get, or the color, even down to coloring or tiling. So having the client could go down as simple as grouting. What color grouting do they want? There's many, many decisions on every. It's a task.
It is a task. And yeah. then you also made mention with you need to discuss, like you said, you have discussed, but appliances, where to put plugs, where what is necessary.
So what I would suggest, what makes our life a lot easier is if I was to meet the homeowner,
yes.
we would sit down and have a chat, and I would straight away suggest that they get a designer, planner, person. So someone, we need to have an electrical plan. So I want a full electrical plan. So this chap or person that you bring in would give a proper electrical diagram of exactly where you want all your plugs, your light switches. This will be down to the manufacturing, what kind of plugs and light switches you want.
Yes.
You have entry level, middle class, you have upper class lighting, and it goes down to where the TV board, the distribution board, or everything will be put on plan, exactly where every down light's going, every plug's going, every switch is going. Then I send that off to my electrician. So then he would now quote according to that. So it solves the problem of bringing the electrician in. I've had it before. The client doesn't know. Maybe put a plug here. Let's maybe put a plug there. And we do the job, and then it's not doesn't work.
Then you've got to add more because it should be more in your kitchen.
Or, I forgot that I need this.
Yes.
So it's very good to have it, to put some time in with a planner or someone that can do the drawing for you. And it just makes electrician, and also could save you money in the long run because that electrician's committed to that plan. So then there's no nasty surprises. You can say yes, but it's on the plan. You quoted for this and this and this.
Yes. Yeah.
Otherwise, you could end up adding quite a lot of money to your end bill.
Yeah, because let's go to the kitchen. I mean, you would need a lot of plugs and appliances, your appliances, toaster, microwave. I mean, air fryers are in now.
So there's many areas. Your kitchen is a large one. A lot of and lighting. You've got outside lighting, inside lighting.
Yes.
They've got strip lighting now, which are used on patios. And under the kitchen light, like kitchen.
That's all to make it fancy. Is that the blue and the different
colors? No. You can get different color ones, but it's just it's subtle lighting. They call it subtle, hidden lighting, so that you don't really. It just gives a bit of atmosphere, but So it starts with the plan. Make sure the electrician can quote on something that's decent. And that flows through to the plumbing as well. So your big ones in a house would be your electrical work.
Yes.
And make sure you get a qualified electrician. I know people are tempted to go for guys who say they can do electrical work, but when it comes to signing off, then I've got a friend of a friend who can sign the house off.
But if things go wrong, that could be serious.
Well, the person, if they do that, the guy who's put his name on there could be liable, will be liable, and in big trouble.
So it's a chance they take as well.
And I think less and less qualified electricians are doing that. But a lot of people, they're tight with their money at the moment. So they are looking for easier alternate options.
Yes.
But if you want less hassles in the future, just stick to a qualified electrician and plumber. So because at the end of the job, they need to provide certificates.
Yes.
So you need certificates for electrical and plumbing.
Yeah.
So as far as plumbing goes, again, make sure you have a detailed plan. Do your homework on what kind of sanitary ware you want, toilet basins, You know, it just makes, if you want a gibberet toilet, the one that goes in the wall, it's a bit more technical. The builder needs to be aware of it. There's a lot of detail. And again, it could be down to shower head heights. What kind of drainage do they want?
Break that shower head heights down for us. What do they mean by that? So I'm a short person.
Yeah, but in every aspect of building, there's standards.
All right.
So we normally have a standard height for a plug socket, or we have a standard height for a kitchen counter.
Yes.
Standard height for shower heads. But you know, each person's got a different request. So we tend to work, and there's different shower heads now. You have shower heads that come out the ceiling. You know, there's lots of different
things. Yes, I've actually seen that when I was searching.
So you got to just connect with your with the homeowner. It's a proper communication thing going on. Constant.
Is the standard height for a shower head?
Just over 2 meters. 2 meters. Yeah, just 2.50, 2.1 even you could go. Just about there.
Right.
Yeah, so that should give you a decent height. But so with plumbing, it's also good to maybe I often use a lady who sources all my sanitary ware. So she'll send my client a full brochure list of all the sanitary options that will work, and then the client can choose out of that brochure, and then she arranges delivery of all these things. So you don't have to go run around to different hardware shops. You don't have to go shopping for toilets and basins and taps, and she sources all of that.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it all gets delivered to site. So it makes it
easier for you and the client happy.
Yeah.
But I'm amazed to know that you actually sit with the client and go through all of this, you know, because I know usually a builder, this is what we're going to do, but, you give that extra care.
Yeah, every detail has to be worked out. Obviously, the bricks and mortar, that we have to build according to plan, and that should be quite detailed. But again, if you see that the builder is struggling with the marking out there's ways of marking a land out for your foundations, and even the way they do the foundations, if you feel there's something off, rather step in soon. Don't let these guys, because you're going to waste, if those foundations fail, basically the whole structure is finished.
Yeah. And that's important, because, I mean, your foundation has to be solid before you can build on it.
Well, the new regulation is every new build has to, or renovation has to have an engineer assigned to it.
Yes.
So the owner should become very good friends with the engineer, and you put in your trust in the engineer that he will monitor the builder. He can also pick up if the builder's taking a chance.
Yeah.
So you don't feel like you have to be an engineer. If you're the owner, say, can you be on site for the foundation just to see how they're doing the foundations? In fact, he has to come and inspect the foundations. And even on the day they throw, just to monitor and make sure that the concrete is of the right standard, that things are done properly. But it goes all the way through. So, you know, details. Like on windows, even double glazed windows, make sure it's safety glass.
Yeah. Good morning, Judy. Judy says, I don't have a question, but a compliment for Sean Anderson and his team. They did an incredible job on renovating the bathroom. Sean's attention to detail is incredible. I'm one very happy lady. Thank you, Judy.
Yeah, we always like these kind of messages. Yeah.
That's what I said. I have also experienced your attention to detail.
Yeah. Happy clients, happy life. Yeah.
Yes.
That
works. There we go.
Going back to detail. So, you know, there's so many details to finishing. People, the finishing is every builder's, it's 80% of the time. We'll probably put 20% into the structure, and then the rest is all fine detail. And to finish properly just requires more than what you even give in. So, you know, when you think you've allowed enough days, I'll spend another 10 days. And normally my client's like, okay, Sean, it's time to leave now. You need to go. I said, yeah, but, you know, I know what needs to get done and how I want it.
Yes.
So you rather put in that extra time. And, yeah, if a bad sign is to see builders that run away. And I've seen it. They come in, it's quick in and out. And then, yeah. Then you know it's not going to last and it definitely hasn't been done properly. So to do things properly takes time. And that's why, you know, builder who's maybe costing a little bit more, he might have taken all of this into account.
Yes.
Because it does take time to get the perfect finish.
And it doesn't matter how small or big the job is.
No. Every job has a certain way to be done.
Yes.
If you look at roofing, I mean, you got to be very careful on who you get to do your roof sheets and, you know, get guys that are qualified, guys that have been in the trade for many years, and look at their references. Are they in the area that you are? You don't want guys coming from too far, and it's down to what kind of materials they're using. Are they using good quality roof screws? It can come down to little detail like that. The right flashings. How's their waterproofing? Because yeah, you can put a nice roof sheets on, but if they don't waterproof you, you're still going to have problems.
So what happens is you build the structure, well, now for the roof, and you build the structure, and then from there what happens? You it's got to be waterproof, or how does it work? Can you break that down for us? So
as far as roofing goes, the builder would do the timber structure.
Yes.
And then a company would come in that to do the roof sheets. And then they would normally give a guarantee, maybe 5 to 10 years, or I don't know, some guys are going 10 to 15 years. You know, that's on leaking through, but there are obviously things that, you know, there's some difficult roofing jobs that they take on, or complicated, put it that way. So, you know, things like flat roof jobs where they have to do torch on, that kind of thing requires maintenance. So there's a silver coat that they brush on there that protects it from the UV, the sun damage.
Yes.
But, you know, every 2 years you probably need to recoat that, just depending on what area you're living, if you're near the coast. So,
and if it's a flat roof and it starts raining, I mean, how does the water run off?
Normally there would always be a slight runoff. You wouldn't really have it visible to the eye on a flat roof. You know, it depends what kind of eye you have. But, yeah, there's normally a small runoff, and they'll have like an outlet on the roof, like a drainage point, a gully almost, that would collect the water, and then the water would run into a box gutter or into a drainage point,
Because then, you know, we stay in the Heights, and we drive past. Every day we drive down, and there's a garage with the flat roof.
Yeah.
And it's there's water just
So, again, make sure you get qualified people to do this, people who know what they're doing with torch on. It would normally be a torch on application, but again, as I say, the guy who does it, when he leaves, it's perfect. But in 2 years, it might not be, because if you haven't maintained it and the sun has damaged it, so every house requires a maintenance.
Which you've mentioned before that you do need your before summer prep and winter prep.
Yeah.
You've made mention quite often.
So it comes down to. Your roofing is important. On a house, make sure that you have a good communication with the person that you.
And if you've got some leaks, and you know, when the rain comes down and it's sort of coming through the house, I mean, a leak is a terrible thing to detect because it could be over there and it's running here. So how does one sort that out?
Well, again, if you get qualified people, they would know where to look, you know.
Yeah.
So, but yes, water is a funny thing. It could be on the opposite side of the house, and the water could travel.
Yeah. Or you can have lift up tiles, and you know.
Often with tiles are a bit tricky because of you know, especially we live by the coast.
Yes.
We have that driving rain. So if rain comes vertically across or horizontally in hitting your roof tiles, it could push into the roof tiles. If you haven't got that vapor barrier, which is a plastic lining that goes under the roof tiles, You could have a bit of leaking. Yeah.
But that plastic could also perish over time. It does perish.
You'll see a lot of the older houses now, you go in and they become brittle.
Yeah.
There is newer products now. We're using foil isolation.
Okay. So what happens then? Do you have to lift all those tiles up and
You can do an application from inside the roof.
Oh.
If you've got a roof area that you can.
So you can do it from your.
You can put in this isolation from inside a vapor barrier.
Okay.
It's a difficult job though. It's not.
Just thinking now that's happening. You've got to lift up all those tiles. It's like actually replacing a.
Yeah, that would be a bit of a nightmare. Yeah. Oh. So I would suggest just trying to sort the problem out from inside.
Yes.
And going back inside kitchens for it's the heart of the home almost.
Yes.
You know, and there's so many details there. So what kind of countertops do you want? Are you going for bamboo? Are you going for engineered stone? Are you going for marble? What are you using on the countertops? What do you want more pot drawers or do you want? Yeah. You know, what kind of shelving do you want? There's so many issues.
And also going to a bedroom. I mean, everybody has cell phones. Everybody uses hair dryers and, you know, that. So you also need to know accessible, safety, to put, you know, where do you put your plugs for all of that?
Yeah, again, the electrician should run through the whole house and do that.
Yeah.
So my big guys that come in would be obviously your electrical, obviously, because these things happen early on in the process. So they happen when foundations are being thrown, slabs, electrician needs to run his pipes, lay his pipes. You want to line up all these contractors. So it'll be electrical, it'll be plumbing, it'll be your glazing, your guys who's doing all your windows and doors. And then as you go up, obviously, again, finishing plastering. If you make sure, you know, you could build a beautiful home, but the plaster could make it a disaster because your finishing is going to look terrible.
And once that happens, how do you, how do you sort that out?
It's a nightmare, yeah. So have a look at your plastering team. If you see these guys are taking a chance, rather stop them because to chip all that off and start again, it's going to be a nightmare. Yeah, cost you.
Well, Sean, time has run up. Can
yeah.
you believe it?
Good.
Time has run out for us.
It's always fun when we talk.
Yes, always, always. And Sean, thank you for sharing your knowledge with us. You want to give out your contact number?
Yeah, it's Anderson Improvements. It's 083-316-5752.
There we go. Sean, see you in 2 weeks' time.
Ciao.
Ciao, ciao.
Bye.
That DIY feature was brought to you by PaintSmiths Long Beach. Service and knowledge. With pleasure. I visit PaintSmiths for all things paint and revamp.
I visit PaintSmiths for trade and paint contractor advice.
And we are here for each individual or business in the valley. Service and knowledge. With pleasure. PaintSmiths Long Beach. Bulalo Drive, Sunnydale.